We're going to be reading today out of Matthew chapter 6. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 6. And I believe as we start this new year that, and I know we hadn't started it till tomorrow, but let's just pray we're starting it right now. We need to know how to pray. And God tells us how to pray. And you heard people say, I just can't pray like they can. Let's just pray the way Jesus said to pray, and it'll be right. You don't have to copy somebody else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, we'll begin there. Jesus says here, when you pray, he didn't say if you pray, he says when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they think they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and in you have shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in the secret place, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. And this is where Jesus says, pray like this. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your word today, God. Thank you, Lord, that you give us great, perfect instruction in righteousness. There's nothing about you, Lord, that's not perfect. But we need you, for we're not perfect. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to receive of you. May we be challenged today to pray the way you said to pray. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Amen. We want to pray the way God said to pray. As a matter of fact, in the book of Luke, the same passage to some degree, the Lord's Prayer, is where the disciples asked Jesus, said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had seen Jesus pray. Many times he spent prayer time with his heavenly Father. Matter of fact, several times it says he would go away into the mountain or a place alone by himself and pray to his Father. Did Jesus need to pray? He's the Son of God. Yes, in his humanity he did. And he needed to pray to set the example for you and I that would follow him. Amen. And so he's deity. He's the Son of God. He never began, will never end. He's eternal. But let's pray God's way. The disciples came to Jesus. They had seen him pray to his Father in heaven. They noticed he frequently prayed to his Father. Many people today do not have a relationship with their earthly Father because of divorce or death or abandonment. They've never had the leading of an earthly Father. But I want to tell you today, you can have the leading of a heavenly Father. And as believers, we should look to what Jesus set for examples. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore pray, or pray like this. Okay? Prayer teaches us to rely on God instead of self for the things we face in our life. The neglect of prayer is the great error in our spiritual lives. Whatever we face, experience in our lives, leaves us in need of God's work in our lives. How many, praise God, by the raise of hand, how many of you think you need God today? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, you need to. There's never a day when I don't need God. I cannot dream of a life without God. It doesn't have to be a life without God. It can be a life with God. In the presence of His Spirit. Praise the Lord. But we can face life in confidence if we have faith. And God is able to give us faith. I'm not talking about some ability to believe real hard, but faith is given by God, and we receive it. Most people who backslide, fail, or drift from God when they neglect their prayer life. Say, I'll pray at church, or I'll let somebody else pray, but I don't feel comfortable and pray. My friend, God hadn't made you feel uncomfortable in praying. Something else has. God wants you to pray. And Daniel, book of Daniel, and Daniel faced the lion's den. He had been threatened by the king and all the upper class of people there, that if he prayed to any god except the god of King Nebuchadnezzar, who wasn't God at all, they would be thrown in the midst of a den of lions. And Daniel knew this decree that it went out. It was law. They couldn't pray to anybody else for 30 days. But when he knew the decree was signed, Daniel opened his window toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he did what he had always done before. He prayed, and God met him. And of course, breaking the law, he was cast into the den of lions. And there God protected him, shut the lion's mouths, and he was protected by God because he would not turn his back on his prayer life, on his need for God, and God delivered him and set him free. Thank God for that. Well, let's look at this, the Lord's Prayer here today. It's in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's go through this if we may. Our Father in heaven, he sees all things, he knows all things, can instruct in all things through his word. And you say, well, I can't hear God speaking to me. Open your Bible and pray that God will speak to you through his word, and he will. Amen. And so we pray to our Father in heaven. So we worship in prayer. When we say, hallowed be thy name, it means that God is to be held in awe above all others. My friend, the God that spoke world into existence, spoke trees and lives, grass and trees and animals into existence, and the universe and stars and moons and all kinds of things into existence by the word of his mouth, his powerful word. My friend, you can pray to him. Hallelujah. No wonder it says, hallowed, held in reverence and awe be thy name. There's, according to some scholars, there's 14 different names of God by the name Jehovah, Jehovah God. God is just one, but those names that are put in the scriptures to refer to him or show the different characteristics of God and his person. In the book of Judges, Gideon was told, he said, you're a mighty man of valor. An angel appeared to him and said, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, why are things so bad if I'm a mighty, mighty man of valor? I hear, it's not said in scripture, but God's going to show him. Amen. And God did show him. And God reconfirmed his word to Gideon several times before Gideon was willing to obey God. And so he and 300 men, each with a torch, and a sword, and a trumpet. And at the right time, they all break their pitcher, shine forth their life, and sounded the trumpet, and God sent a great deliverance that day because there were multitudes of Midianites waiting to steal their crops and steal everything that they had, but they were overrun. They heard the noise of armies coming. No doubt God made them hear the noise of other armies, and they fled, and God brought a great deliverance. And God spoke to Gideon. He said, you'll know me as Jehovah Shalom, which means God is peace. And before God intervened, he had anything but peace. He thought he was going to be killed, and thought that all of his crops were going to be robbed. He would have nothing to eat. He'd be left completely desolate and completely empty. But God assured him, I am the God of peace. I'm going to give you peace concerning this. And you know, we need to pray for God's peace. God, you need peace in your home, between you and your family members, sons, daughters, moms, dads, grandparents. You need peace in your homes. And God is the source of all peace. There can't be any peace much without him. Peace within the family. peace in the marriages. Amen. You don't go home and, anyway, I could get into a lot of things there I won't, but God wants you to have peace between husband and wife. God wants there to be peace with your co-workers, peace nationally, and the peace of Jerusalem that we're to pray for. God tells us, so He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I want to bring one other name in there. He is known as Jehovah Nisi, probably not a name you're familiar with, but that means the Lord is my banner. In Old Testament, among the 12 tribes of Israel, they had a standard or a banner they would hold up that identified them with each one, which tribe they were from. And so, better translated, Jehovah Nisi says, the Lord is my banner. It identifies us who we are. It identifies us as people of God, that we live under the name of Christ. Amen. That we serve the Lord, that we live for Him. In the New Testament, the name of Jesus is the banner of the cross. Amen. It is who we are identified with. We are identified with those who believe the teachings of Christ, who believe His sacrificial death on the cross, who believe His bodily resurrection from the dead, who believe He ascended to heaven, and believe that He will come again. Amen. These signs, amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so return in like manner as you have seen Him go. And I believe He's going to return. Amen. I've heard this all my life. Many of you have heard it all your life, and it hadn't happened. Yes, I've heard it all my life, but I tell you, friend, if I think Jesus is coming, I need to think He's coming today, and I need to live like He's coming today, because He might. And so we have no authority over that, but God does. He knows when He'll return, and we can't predict it. We can't nail it down to a day or an hour, but only God knows. But He does know, but He says, I will return, and I trust Him. Amen. And so we're identified with Christ. We're under the banner of the cross and the Christ. And I pray, Lord, let me live under and identified as a Christian. In the book of Acts 11:26, it says the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And it was not a wonderful name to be located under, to be identified as in the early part of Acts. Because there were groups of people that did not accept Jesus as their Savior. They didn't believe He was the Messiah, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. They just didn't believe, and they persecuted the name of Jesus. Some were killed for it. But yet, they call themselves Christians. And the cross that Jesus did on the cross, His resurrection, identifies us as Christians. People, believers, people who believe the life and the teachings of Jesus throughout Scripture. Okay, so we say, hallowed be Thy name. Part of your prayer life should be, Lord, I want to just worship You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to just give worship to You. That's what we've done this morning. We worship Him, not because we're going to get something out of it. We're not worship God because He's promised this material thing or that material thing, but God has promised His presence. My friend, I pray for the presence of God every time I pray for us to be in fellowship and us to worship God. I just pray for the presence of Jesus that it cannot be denied. And I'm going to tell you, I sense His presence right now. I've sensed it all morning. He's God. He's Lord. He's here. He's present. He's available. Praise the Lord, all peoples. And He said, pray like this. Second of all, He said, pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. When Jesus preached on this earth, He preached about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. A little bit of difference there, but all of God. At one place, Jesus said in His earthly life, He says, the kingdom of God is among you, or with you. And He was saying, the King is right here with you, that you're looking at right now. Jesus said that in His earthly ministry, when He was Son of God, Son of Man. Amen. And so, when we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. His will is for you to be joined to Him in mind, will, and purpose. God wants you to love Him with all of your heart. Heart's not just a thing that beats in your chest, thank God for it, but it's dealing with the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the character of humanity. God wants to be Lord of all. Amen. So that our heart belongs to Him. Without Him, we have only a sinful heart. Amen. But we have a heart of God if we've been born again. And the sinful heart, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Without God, mind, will, emotions, everything follows the path of darkness and sin and things that God hates. But when your heart is right with God, you're going to follow a straight and narrow path that leads into life everlasting. That's what God wants you to do, because God wants you to spend eternity with Him. He doesn't need you, He doesn't need me, but He wants me. He wants you. He died for the sins of the whole world. He paid the debt of sin with the greatest payment that could ever be made. God gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. He did that for you and for me. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will? God's will is for you to serve Him with all your heart. We see that man was separated from God, the first two people in the Bible, Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden. And life was perfect there at first. God's perfect will was to fellowship with mankind whom He created in His likeness and image. God created man from the dust of the earth, breathing in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Capable of fellowship with God. God created him that way. And until they sinned, there was nothing between them and God. Not anything that blocked their fellowship with God. They could talk to Him audibly and peacefully without fear of anything in the Garden of Eden because God was there. And there was no sin until Adam and Eve sinned. And immediately when they sinned, they broke their relationship with God. They died spiritually and began to die physically. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But God, in His eternal purpose, promised them deliverance. Amen. In heaven today, there is unhindered fellowship with God. Your loved ones and friends that have gone on before, amen, to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord, they're having fellowship with their Creator. Amen. They're able to fall before His feet. They're able to talk to Him and ask Him questions. They're able to fellowship with Him. And to be with God, knowing that God here is the Creator of all the ends of the earth, would be willing to talk to me, is amazing. Amen. Out of the billions of people, why would He want to have anything to do with me? Well, you can ask God, I don't know. I just know that He does and has chosen to have fellowship with us. In heaven, there is perfect holiness, perfect sinlessness, perfect holiness, perfect love, perfect peace. Amen. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. You ever think about God? You should. Amen. Well, I think about Him sometimes. I think about Him when I'm in danger. I think about Him when I need to pay bills. I think about Him when I have need of something. Why can't we just think of God because He's God? And because we love Him. And it's the will of God. And the first commandment of all is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jesus said this is the first and greatest commandment of all. And the second line is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Jesus told the people. And so that's what we're supposed to do. So in heaven there's perfect holiness. And God wants us to value heavenly and greater and eternal greater than the temporary and the earthly. Everything on this earth is temporary. I'm temporary. Your car is temporary. Your salary is temporary. You know, if we keep going, you're going to get discouraged. No, it's just that nothing lasts. Your health. Amen. We want it to be eternal. but it's temporary. Things happen, knees begin to knock, and you need a knee replacement. Let me tell you something. In heaven, God has got a new body and a new life. There will be no surgery. There will be no replacements. There will be no funeral homes. There will be no surgeries. I want to tell you, it will be perfect in heaven. You'll be completely restored, God, just like you jumped up and down when you were 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad God has a greater plan for us. God, it's mighty the spiritual body we'll receive in heaven. For once we're out of this body. Let's move on here. So pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, set up on the throne of my heart. Be king of my heart and my life. You can pray that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And let's move on. Thirdly, give us this day our daily bread. We like this one the best because it's saying, God, give me. But God does bless our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And bread is a staple of life. Israel received manna from heaven for 40 days and 40 nights. Every morning they got up, there was manna on the ground. The word manna means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was at first. But they made food, or considered it food from God. It kept them healthy. It kept them straight. It was heavenly food. Amen. Called angel food in one place. But God does care about everyday things, and we should pray about them. God knows what you have need of before you ask. God, I need this today. Would you help me? Amen. And God will. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. You know, if you really need something, you begin to become more earnest in your prayers. God, please, this has got to happen. And God is listening. And we have a wonderful Father that loves us. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being good, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? He just says, ask. Amen. And people have run to the end of the earth with that and ask out of cardinal things that they didn't need, things that would destroy them. God's not going to give you stuff that's going to destroy you or hurt you spiritually. He's going to give you things that will keep you spiritually healthy. Amen. And so, pray that God be King and Lord of my life and His will be done. And pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. And Israel received manna from heaven for 40 years. We know that. Jesus fed multitudes in the wilderness with bread and fish. And this speaks of petitioning God for things we need. Going to God for daily needs and His will. It's right for you to pray, God, I need your help this day. Can you help me do this? Can you help me get this, get that? I've prayed a lot of times, God, would you help me to find this thing that I lost? When I was a kid, I'd go to my mother and say, Mother, I lost it. I lost this thing. And I hate what she said every time. Where did you lose it at? If I knew where I lost it at, it wouldn't be lost. But God has done that and helped me find so many things. Might as well testify. Amen. Had a glass that I used to drink out of, a container, wooden glass. And I prayed, Lord, would you help me find that thing? I know it's not important for eternal things, but would you help me to find it? And I looked in my I looked in the kitchen over there, in the cabinet. I'd looked in that cabinet three or four times. The next day I looked in there, and there it was. I didn't need it. I can drink out of any cup. But God is interested in our daily needs, our personal needs. And God doesn't want us to have carnal things, but spiritual things. In the book of James, James addresses this. Right after Hebrews. James 4, 2 and 3. And the writer here speaks to the people and he says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Then he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's some things that God just won't give you because it's just not necessary. And it's not wrong. Pleasure is not wrong to a certain extent. But the writer, James is not, you know, they didn't like him very well because he was strong. You never had to wonder about what he was saying. Strong. He says to the people, here he says, adulterers and adulteresses, spiritually adulterers, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be the friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So we need to pray for the things that will help us spiritually, pray for the things that will help us. Daily bread, yes, bread is necessary in physical things. Most of us ate too much through the holidays. But God will give us the things that we need. So give us this day our daily bread. God's word is referred to as spiritual bread. Jesus said to the people, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness and are dead. Then he said, Matthew 4, 4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is the bread which came down to heaven, and Jesus proclaimed himself as the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He said, if you partake of this bread, you will live forever. And the people were confused. Can this man give us his flesh and his blood to eat physically? No. But in faith, if we partake of him, God is eternal, and he is life, and he's the bread of life. Amen. And we believe his words and begin to go forward in his word. God has promised us eternal life. Amen. We partake of the bread of life when we partake of him by faith and say, God, I pray that you would give me all that I need for this day and for this life, and he will give it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's move on. Next part of the prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Debts. Nobody likes debts, especially at the first of the year when people try to get money to pay their credit cards off because they blew it for Christmas presents. And Christmas presents, many times it'll be in the garage sale before next year because it's not new anymore. But forgive us our debts, and we have a debt of sin we can never pay. It took Jesus on the cross to pay our debt. We could never pay it. With all the ability that you may have for 1,000 years, you could not atone, pay for one sin that you've committed. It took something supernatural to pay for your sins. It took sinless blood of the Son of God to pay for your sins. That's the only offering that God would accept and will accept. In the Old Testament, they were to give the firstborn the best of their flock, and they would sacrifice lambs and goats and bulls, and they were best to be the best that they had without disease or infection of any kind, or it wouldn't be accepted by God. And of course, Jesus was a fulfillment of all animal sacrifice because he became the perfect Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world, who was offered up on the last altar for there to be a sin offered. And Jesus on the cross, the Lamb of God, offered himself up to pay for our sins. It was perfect blood. It was pure blood. It was sinless blood. It was his blood. Amen. And he paid for my sins. And he forgave us of the debt of sin that we owed. Amen. If you begin to try to list all your sins, you'd probably need to go to Walmart and buy a 100-sheet pack to list all of them on. But God knows all of that. You say, well, I hadn't been that bad. Well, you have. Just thought that'd encourage you. And so, only by Christ are we justified, declared not guilty. But he paid for it. Suffered on a rugged cross and poured out his soul unto death. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. With his stripes we are healed. Physically, of all sins, diseases as well. Amen. forgive us our debts as we forgive others that are indebted to us. Forgiveness is one of the great provisions God made for us. According to the law of Moses, almost all things are purified by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And God expects us to forgive others as God has graciously forgiven us. And that's maybe easier said than done. You say, Lord, you don't know what he did. Yeah, he knows exactly what that person did to you or said about you or thought about you or whatever. God knows everything. But I just want to forgive him. God, I want to see him paid back a little bit. You don't have to kill him, but make him sick or something, you know. That's the way we are, you know. There's a reason God says in the Bible several times, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And Jesus here says, forgive as you have been forgiven. And we've been forgiven a whole lot. And we must forgive others as God has graciously forgiven us. Moving on, he says, lead us not into temptation. Amen. God never tempts anybody to sin. Amen. The Bible says in the book of James, man is sins when he's drawn away of his own desires. Amen. You know, you think I'd put a marker here in my Bible where I'd remember where I need to go. James 1:13. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Say, God, when did you put this here to tempt me? He didn't put anything there to tempt you. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Amen. And so sin gives birth to evil. But when God gets, and in the end, sin gives birth to eternal separation from God. Delivers. But God delivers us from sin so we can be born again of God's Spirit, washed in His blood, and be a part of His. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now Satan is a great tempter. He continually makes sin appealing and sin to the sinful eye. He makes sin look good. But he lies about what sin does to a person. The devil never shows the consequences of sin because he wants you to fail. He doesn't want you to live for God. But God is the great Redeemer. Lead us not into temptation, last of all, but deliver us from the evil one. And the devil is the evil one. He is bent on doing evil. He's called the tempter in Scripture. He's called the devil. He's called the deceiver. He's called the dragon. He's called Lucifer. There's many names he's called by. Matter of fact, I have a few of them for him my own self. You probably do too. But deliver us from the evil one. And our complete deliverance from evil is when we're caught away and taken out of this world. But I want to tell you something. We're surrounded by a multitude of believers. There's people throughout this nation, throughout this country that believe in God, that are God-fearing people that are on their way to heaven just like you are. And though there's a devil to tempt us, I want to tell you, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. God is in us, Christ in us, the King, hope of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We serve him, we love him, we live for him. We're not going to be defeated. We're going to be an overcomer, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus was. Amen. He's able to give us victory. Whatever you're going through. So when you pray, pray, deliver us from the evil one. So God tells us how to pray there. And so throughout this year, we want to be a people of the altar, be a people of prayer. So God meant for us to. Amen.